Love it or hate it, there is no denying country music is an important part of the American musical landscape. Ken Burns is about to unveil his latest film on PBS stations, Country Music. And as Burns puts it, country music is a uniquely American art form, and it's never been one style of music.
More than you ever know about him.
Craig Mackey is an author and a musician who performs and writes about Detroit country music, and he'll be performing at an event, an experience, tomorrow night at Pontiac's Crowfoot, Detroit Country Music, a live preview of the upcoming Ken Burns documentary. It's, Craig, pleasure to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's great to be here, Cindy. Thank you.
Well, I think for most of us, you hear the term country music and immediately you think Nashville, you think, you know, Garth Brooks, Keith Urban, Luke Bryan, Dolly Parton, Carrie Underwood.
Rightly so.
How do you define country music?
You know, it was derived from folk music, brought over here by different people, not only European white settlers created a music of their own based on, you know, what they brought with them, but African Americans also contributed to the music all through the years. It sort of intertwined these different influences. Even coming up into the 20th century, the polka was a fad for a while, and boogie-woogie crept in there, and it's just fascinating how many different influences country music has absorbed.
And as well as a performer, you are the author of the book Detroit Country Music, Mountaineers, Cowboys, and Rockabilly. So, Detroit country, what are the hallmarks of Detroit country music? How do you feel it differs from what we think of as coming out of Nashville?
Well, the years that I covered in the book were the 30s through the 60s, mainly. And so that also coincided with a lot of industrial activity in the area, in the region. So that drew a lot of people from the South to work in the factories.
Black and white coming up to work in the factories, yeah.
Yeah, and they were making a lot of money for the most part. People were sending money home or traveling a lot back and forth. And that created a musical culture that had very close ties to what was going on elsewhere in the country.
And West Virginia, near a little town of clay, nestled in the shade of the pine. I know my dad and mom with open arms will welcome me. I'm heading south tonight on 23. You can hear the old folks singing. You can hear the banjos ringing. I'm heading south tonight on 23.
And so in Detroit, as soon as something new happened, the guys up here were on it. And then after the war, Nashville hadn't really solidified its role in the industry.
Not the role it has today.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of open experimentation, and quite a few hits were made in Detroit. And by Detroit-based artists.
So we're talking about the late 40s into the 50s?
Yes.
You can hear the old folks sing. You can hear the banjos ring. I'm heading south tonight on 23.
And were these hits that were national? I mean, certainly today, country radio is a powerhouse in the broadcasting scene, and it certainly helps get artists out and get them heard. How did people get their music out and heard in the 40s and 50s?
Mainly radio. Live radio was very popular. And in fact, WJR, the Goodwill station at the time, was a 50,000-watt powerhouse that was heard all over the Midwest and into Canada. They, in 1953, they had a barn dance style show, which profiled a number of different acts that had a number of different styles of country music on stage every Saturday night. And it was the number one show produced in Detroit.
Okay, here we go. 23, you're on.
What in the world's come over you? Seems we never get along.
when you think of Detroit, you've certainly got these great traditions. You've got gospel, you've got soul, you've got blues, you've got, you know, certainly rock and roll as we went through the 50s, 60s, and up to today. Mm-hmm. Have these all kind of blended together? Have these left their mark on Detroit country music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I said before, the guys up here had their ears to the ground as far as what was going on everywhere else in the country, and it just helped raise the profile of Detroit. It was a number one destination for star traveling acts and major label recording artists.
I love you so, never dreamed I'd miss you so. Now alone in my room each night, my heart it cries, it's just not right. Oh, what?
So give us some of the big names that especially names that came out of Detroit that mattered in the country world.
Well, right off the top of my head was a guy named Jimmy Work.
Making believe that you still love me.
Who recorded a couple of really big records, actually. But his first was done in 1949 called Tennessee Border. It became a huge hit for Red Foley, who was a member of the Grand Ole Opry and recording for Decca Records. That was Jimmy's first exposure to the major exposure to the industry. He had been working at it as a millwright in Detroit since the early 40s. So then eventually he was able to do as much work in music as he wanted to because of the success. And in 1955, he wrote and cut Make and Believe.
Make and Believe. I'll spend my lifetime loving you. Make and Believe.
Which was a big hit for him on Dot nationwide. And then Kitty Wells covered it, and she took it to number one.
So we got to talk about what is happening at Crowfoot in Pontiac tomorrow night. This is an experience. DPTV, Detroit Public Television Experience.
Yes, it's the first of quarterly experiences for the public to come out and find out what's going on at DPTV and also, be entertained. And this is real exciting because from what I can tell, it's going to be run like an old-time radio show with a variety of acts. There are 10 live musical acts.
Including you.
Yes, including yours truly. We all get a chance to perform just a couple of numbers.
Yeah.
So it's going to roll very quickly, but there will also be a square dance group to do a demonstration and a clogging group to do a demonstration. It's open to all ages, doors at 7, show starts at 8.
Very good. And you can get all the information you need on the big event at Crowfoot in Pontiac tomorrow night at 7 by going to dptv.org. Do you have a Detroit country song that really is special to you?
Yeah, it's the York Brothers' Hamtramck Mama, which was released on a record for the jukebox, the local jukebox industry, in 80 years ago this year.
We used to play that when I was back at WNIC. Somebody did a version, but I'm talking back in the 80s. We used to play Hamtramck Mama. I don't know who did it, but I know. I did not realize. I thought that was just kind of a novelty song somebody did, but I didn't realize they remade that song from 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Hamtramck
years ago.
I love it.
She's the hottest thing in town. Lordy, how she can love. Does the boogie in the daytime, shimmy at night. She's a Hamtramck baby and she shakes it right. She's a Hamtramck mama and she sure doesn't know her stuff.
Craig Mackey, his book from the University of Michigan Press is Detroit Country Music, Mountaineers, Cowboys, and Rockabillies. And Craig and a host of other performers will be at Crowfoot in Pontiac 7 o'clock tomorrow night for that DPTV experience in advance of the premiere of Ken Burns' new documentary, Country Music. Go to dptv.org for all the details. Craig, thank you so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.
She's a ham-tramic baby that no man can tame. She's a ham-tramic mama, and she sure does know it.